This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you for the next 3 hours live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy program lined up today. Plenty on what took place yesterday over in Italy, the Olympic Games gold medal match. That was awesome. Obviously, congrats to Team USA. They were phenomenal, and Hellebuck was the man. We'll talk college basketball tonight. Two big games on the docket, including what to do with Darren Peterson. Kansas at home is a small dog. NBA only three games, but we will dive in. Also, Nick Whaling on the program in 30 minutes. Thomas Gable from the Borgata in Atlantic City. I wonder what the handle was like yesterday for the game on the East Coast compared to out here on the West Coast with that crazy start time. And Zig Vergassi on the show as well. How do we approach the second half of the NHL? Paulie, they return. That anecdote yesterday during the game, the players now have to fly back to Miami because of the snow in the Northeast. And we have a full slate of games coming up on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Can't wait to dive into that.
Sure. I'm sure the Team USA guys are still drinking too and celebrating. So how do you feel?
Minus 150.
No kidding. So how do you feel? You know, it goes 46 years to the day. How the world has changed. Al Michaels had only done a couple hockey games. The game was on tape delay. The kids beat the mighty Russians. And now we exorcise the demons and finally beat Canada. And it's instant, and you're world famous right away. Hughes knows the moment. Hellebuck realizes the moment. But it becomes even sweeter after the fact when Canada starts to whine and complain. I mean, I would think that really it's like, okay, great for USA, great for the country. We get it done. We win gold. Hellebuck's the story, Hughes is the story, and then afterwards it's, well, we know who the better team was, and crying about the three-on-three format in overtime. It was incredible.
Yeah,
I didn't expect that out of Canada. I really didn't.
Immediately, like the first words that I saw like on a soundbite or a quote from anybody on any team was from McKinnon, who's like, clearly anybody who watched the game today knows who the better team was. That's one of the first things you got to say? I was stunned by that. Also, I mean, if we're honest, though, it does mean more to the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to, look, I talked to people from all over the country. And in fact, one of our buddies was in Cabo. Nice time to be in Mexico right now. He was vacationing in Cabo and he was watching at a bar with, he figured, about 100 people. And he told me, as one of the only Americans there, you could hear a pin drop. He sent me a video of it when it ended, when he was put the game winner. And I could hear a pin drop watching on video. And he thought, yeah, they're devastated. Like, you could see it in real time. I'm not going to rub it in. There's no point. Like, this will, and as people told me on X when I said, this is the beauty of this game is that here we are, the drama and the level of play was speaking for itself. But then you add in the fact that these are millionaires who play in the NHL, pouring their guts out for their countries. One team is going to be demoralized for days. The other team is going to be glowing for the rest of their lives. And as some people pointed out, they actually said, you know, Canadians are going to be demoralized for the rest of their lives. Like, that's probably a good way to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, I mean, was it worth waking up out here in the West Coast and watching? That was 3 hours, that a phenomenal television for
it
us.
It had everything, yes.
Yeah.
And then how it ends, which I guess Linda Cohen is the only person who likes the 3-on-3.
I still don't like, you
overtime.
Can't have that.
I know, to decide a gold medal, and USA wins both of them. I know, incredible. But then for them to complain afterwards, that's like the equivalent in the heyday when the Lakers had Shaq. And if overtime was decided by free throw shooting, and then you lost and complained, if you lost to Shaq, it's like you have McKinnon, McDavid, and McCarr.
Mm-hmm.
You have a huge advantage, and you lost. You didn't lose because of some rinky-dink format. Here, look at this. This is great. McKinnon misses the wide-open net with 10 minutes left. Hellebuck has the save of the decade on Taves with the paddle of the stick. They kill off a 5-on-3.
Look at that save.
Come on. How good is that? And to think, I do whatever I can. I just got to get the paddle. And he doesn't hoist it. He decides to keep it on the ice. And he has enough of the stick to make the save. But then McCarr gambled and lost.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins that, it's going to be a 2-on-0. And they're likely going to win. But he gambled and lost. It became a break the other way. McKinnon didn't play the puck. They also didn't get back hard enough. And Hughes buried it and becomes a hero. That's why they got beat. I mean, there were several ways. It's not some rinky-dink format. I can't believe Cooper's comments afterwards. And Hellebuck, What's interesting now is how the Winnipeg fans look at him.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, hey, where's the Hellebuck now in big games that beat us, as in Canadians? We'd like to see that in road playoff games and like to get back to the Stanley Cup final or the conference final. But Hellebuck with 41 saves, a lot of people didn't think he had it in him. He's the reason they won.
I think if you talk to some players slash coaches and certainly fans, I think some of them, not all of them obviously, but some of them will say that playing like that in the Olympics actually means more than a Stanley Cup. Agree or disagree, but that's the level that we're talking about here when you have the chance to play for your country. And it is in this, for this year anyway, it happens to be USA versus Canada. And I thought Eddie O was, first of all, he was great on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
And he was terrific. He came on with us on Friday, pretty much like an hour after Team USA advanced to the finale, right? And he was talking about how, look, as a guy who played for Team USA back in the 80s.
Chicago kid.
Yeah, he said that really the Canadians to us were our biggest rivalry. But for Canadians, the U.S., we were never the Canadians' biggest rivalry. That was always Russia. So they kind of just like looked down their noses at us in terms of overall hockey, thinking that there's no way the U.S. could ever be on the same level as them. Well, here you are, 46 years after the Miracle on Ice, and they did it again, this time to Canada. So that probably stings even, you know, it makes it 10 times worse for those players who never want to lose to the United States of America.
The book was packed here. People were running around, screaming, going nuts, drinking. Epic celebration, USA chance. But it also, a little bit, I compare it to, and I know you were the first to say this as well, when the Triple Crown streak came to an end. About, okay, that's great, but now what? Like, it finally, after that long drought, we had a Triple Crown winner. But here to do it after 46 years, it felt great, but it felt even better then when Canada started to cry. And what happened afterwards, and the excuses. So, and there's a live reaction going back to Sunday morning. So, as you said, no man's land and the tough start time at 5 in the morning Pacific, but then they got what they wanted. It's a close game the whole way. You're on the edge of your seat, and then you get the overtime game and the incredible finish.
We cannot forget the goal from Matt Boldy. We talked about how
the penalty kill. 100% penalty kill, and they got the first goal, yes.
Yeah, and the level of athleticism, puck control, and actually getting that past Binnington. Again, we talked about the game winner for the women last Thursday, how that winning goal was a 10 out of 10. I mean, Paulie, to set, not really set the tone, but to get on the board first in the manner in which Matt Boldy did, that's pretty close to a 10 out of 10 goal there as well. Splits two guys, the puck handling again, gets the bounce perfectly, and then goes right by Binnington. Man, just as I've gotten older, the stuff that I appreciate on the field that I realize now, I could never, ever, ever in my wildest dreams ever do. One, some of the goals that you see in soccer are just, I can't even relate to that. I have no idea what that would be like. And the same thing here with goals occasionally. That was amazing to get on the board in that fashion. So then,
he's doing the post game interview was epic. His teeth are falling out. He's got a chipped tooth. You know, there's blood, and, you know, it was big. They didn't score on the four-minute power play, but he ends up winning it as well, and he knows he's a rock star. But I'm just shocked at what – you don't see this in hockey. You know, the tough guy – you think maybe that'd be NBA where the guys have excuses.
You're right. I know.
They lose.
I know. You're right.
I mean, that was incredible how they complained about everything, that the better team lost in the format and all this, and you scored one goal. And as Jeff Davis said, who works here at Circa, and we kept saying, when did they look the part? Never. They never played up to their power rating in this tournament.
True.
And what they were, I mean, they had to win an overtime in one of the games. They had the comeback win against Finland. They were down 2-0. And here they lose in overtime, and USA got the first goal. They never looked like this powerhouse freight train, but one of the best teams since maybe 87 Canada. It wasn't there.
Good job by you, by the way. You immediately, as soon as Team USA won last Friday, you said, oh, under 5.5 all day long. And that got there. Eddie O, he thought it was going to be offensive, you know, fireworks. We never got that at all. We got the shots, especially from Canada. But Hellebuck was amazing in that spot. And I made the mistake, by the way. It's early. I'm still trying to wake up. Yesterday morning, I put on YouTube TV instead of Peacock. And I'm texting back and forth about some stuff in the game with Chris Massaro, pro bettor, a friend of the network. And he eventually he goes, Mitch, I think you might be a little bit behind here on the delay. I'm like, am I? YouTube TV must have had a 6-7 minute delay than Peacock.
Cool.
The second period was 3 minutes in, and I'm like, wait, second period's here already? Are you kidding me? So that was odd, and I wanted to get involved live. Thank God I didn't, because I was way behind on the times. But then how it also closed with Johnny Gaudreau. And his parents in the stands, yeah. And the former teammates coming out there, and then they bring the kids. I mean, my God almighty. Someone here that now has a little boy that's going to be 2 in April, it hits differently as a father now. Mm-hmm. That was just, you can't top that. Phenomenal from start to finish to bring them out there to get the photo and for them to see how the players are going to celebrate. And you're right. I mean, why would they have stopped drinking already?
Oh, a lot of guys said they could read lips. I'm going to get bleeped up tonight. The guys said they showed several guys with USA.
And from the stories that we've heard about hockey players, it's probably like Andre the Giant. Uh-huh. They can probably drink 3 cases if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Wade Boggs time.
That's right. That's right. That was so good with Catherine Tepper. She asked some great questions, but this guy's teeth are falling out. He's going in his rant and how good he was afterwards, composed.
Just took the high stick right across the chops.
Yeah.
Then he scores the game winner.
Isn't it something, though, how everything's changed in the 46 years, though?
Yeah.
I mean, the game was against Russia was tape delayed, and Al Michaels like, I'll give it a try. I know what icing is and offsides. How about that? Mm-hmm. That's about it for me.
Well, for what it's worth, Kenny Albert, we talked to Eddie O, so he's great, but Kenny Albert was also fantastic on the call.
Yes.
So overall, man, what a game.
A+. And Tirico setting up Eddie between in the intermissions, too. Yep. Yes.
We'll hit it several times show the next 3 hours. Up next, college basketball. The angle struck again this weekend.
6-0.
Yeah. And are you riding the streak or a believer? This is the night that all streaks must come to an end. We'll discuss next. Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It is a small card tonight in the NBA and in college basketball, but there are some enticing games and I think some good handicapping angles as well. Before we dive in, you said this before the break. We call it the angle here. That's what Luke, our producer, has called it and nicknamed it. And he is putting out every single play, has now for weeks on his Twitter handle, @LukeDIV.
Good sample size, too.
That's, Delta, India, Victor. 6-0 over the weekend. Have you noticed anything here?
Absolutely, okay. 100%. Number one, his winning percentage, and he's up almost 80%. The 6-0 weekend, but look at the point spreads in all these games. I never paid attention to this until humans mentioned it about a month ago. We both were on New Mexico laying 1.5, 2.5 at home against Utah State. And he made the comment, they're begging you to take the favorite. I never liked that because look what the line's so short. And they got blasted. Mm-hmm. Every single game, the dog is +1.5 and they won.
Now, how about that?
So you look, and there's a lot of games tonight. There's been a lot of games over the weekend. When that team's laying 1.5, 2.5, it seems not only do they lose, but it's by a wide margin. It's like they're begging you. Come on, come inside. Trick job, Pearl Harbor job, and it's a 1.5, right? And it keeps cashing and they keep winning. And it goes back to when humans brought it up. Utah State pounded New Mexico in the pit in that game. So nothing today. Probably have something tomorrow.
Oh, I would think.
But the first thing that jumps out is every single spread is like +1.5, +2.5.
Yep. So now everybody has to set their notifications for Luke's Twitter handle on. Whenever he tweets, like, okay, boom, here's the play. Now let's keep it up here. Now that we keep bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought about upping the bet sizes for these.
Yeah.
And once I do that, all of a sudden it's going to go back because some regression is expected here at some point. But my God, 35 and 10 last 45 plays?
Yeah, also it's like the Richie Baccellari stuff. Let's get in the trash, right? USC, Upstate, Drexel, Lehigh. This is great. So all tickets cash, the same. Excellent job. And these, it's a small card tonight, as you said, but these are tough. And bam, look at this. Houston 1.5, Louisville 2.5, right? So you go today, and I retweeted it at VSiN Insights. Carolina 6-0 at home in ACC play. Louisville's been blown out in these quad one games, all by 9-plus points. First comment, why is Louisville favored? I have the same thing, right? It's like they're begging you to take Louisville, but I like Carolina in this game, but this one's tough as well. But it's in that sweet spot again, just like the Houston-Kansas game.
Yeah, well, Carolina is still without Caleb Wilson, so you have to consider that part. They also have some splits here that we're talking about. Greg Peterson had a great write-up at the website, vsin.com. Yeah. So North Carolina is 51st overall in the country in points per possession allowed on defense. That number goes down to number 16 overall at home. And that's a massive difference there. Louisville is 37th overall. Also, more home-road splits for North Carolina. 20.5 points per 100 possessions at home better than they are on the road. 30.6% three-point defense at home, 39.4% on the road, and Louisville takes 53% of their shots from deep, third highest in the country. So if this is status quo, then you think, okay, Louisville's going to take a bunch of shots, but North Carolina makes it very difficult on the opposing teams. Maybe they're not falling tonight for the Cardinals.
Different team at home, certainly Louisville has had a bad run and a bad time of it against the top teams they've played. So the other one, this is a friend of a friend saying this. I trust him, but there's turmoil in the locker room, as you can imagine, with Kansas. But now you're going up against number one, Bill Self, on Big Monday, and they haven't lost back-to-back home games since 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And they get blasted by Cincinnati. We'll get to the picture later. It's all over social media. But again, it's front page ESPN.com. Bill Self, I'd like to coach you at some point. Can't do it.
Yep.
Boozer has played 34-plus minutes, 15 games. Peterson's done it once.
Yeah, DeBansa played 40.
And what does he say after the game? Whatever they need.
Yep.
And look at the move on number one overall pick now.
Yeah.
He's down to $1.20 to go number one. And everyone has concerns about this.
This is real
load management. Oh, absolutely. And the toll it's taking on the team. But it's, you want to go against this unbelievable run where they don't lose back-to-back home games, and this guy is 40-0 on Big Monday at home.
Yeah, at home. 5-1 all-time at home as a dog. Also, they're, after a loss, 138-24 straight up under Bill Self, 85%, 6-0 this year after a loss. I had to do it. I took him on the money line, plus 115. This is a sweet spot here for Bill Self in Kansas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
off of an embarrassing loss at home as a big favorite against a marginal team at best, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're getting Houston. Oh, by the way, two-game losing streak as well. You could argue they need it like blood on top of it. But this just reeks of a similar outcome that we had against Arizona a couple of weeks back when we heard, 5 minutes before game time, oh, there's no Darren Peterson again. The line goes to 4, 4.5. And what they do, they won outright anyway without the guy.
Yeah.
So I trust Self here tonight to get it done. At some point, the writing must be on the wall for Bucket Jones and his agent to realize, holy hell, man, we have absolutely, well, not absolutely, but maybe your draft stock has tanked here and we need to reassess. Now, he's poo-pooing it, saying, look, I never would have said ever that I'm going to miss this many games. Like, real stuff has actually happened to me. I guess, take it for what, if you want to believe him, you can. You don't have, I know there's a lot of pessimistic, people. So they're like, I'm not buying 1 second that this kid is trying to tell me right now.
DeBance is doing it the right thing, too. Whatever they need. I'll play
every
minute.
I'll play 40 minutes if I have to.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I would take him number one. But I think he's also like, when Peterson was minus 550 to go, I'm like, the kid's good, but DeBance is also like right there on his level.
Well, no one could believe the Oklahoma State thing, where he gets a three and then signals to Self, okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming out. And even Vitale said, this is the best. You got a divorce. This isn't going to work. It's run its course. But I'm not going to say they're better without him, but certainly its team plays better when he doesn't have the big minutes.
We've never seen anything like this before, correct?
No.
I mean,
load management in college in this? No.
No, nothing like that. I mean, we saw what happened with Ben Simmons was also not very
Now, that's interesting.
Good, but that's not...
Ben Simmons played, but people question, does Ben Simmons like the game?
That's correct.
I mean, that's a lot like Kawhi Leonard. I don't think Kawhi Leonard likes basketball. He's just so damn good, and he's just so skilled. But Ben Simmons didn't like his job and didn't like basketball. And he was out in the fashion scene and going out and whatever. But he also passing up on the wide-open dunk in the playoff game and missing the free throws ruined him, too.
Yeah.
But that goes that's hand-in-hand, though. Does Peterson love basketball? Does he see this is my job? I'm going to make a lot of money. I want to make sure I don't get hurt or whatever.
Yep.
But certainly he doesn't love the game. If you love the game, you want to be out there with your teammates.
That's a common takeaway, and I can't blame people for thinking that.
Yeah.
Also, I'll give you two other teams, right? And you've mentioned this before. We've had it like in top the best and worst teams ATS throughout the course of the college basketball season. Stephen F. Austin's been great at covering numbers. They're 12.5-point favorites tonight against New Orleans.
They didn't cover Saturday.
No.
A big number, yeah.
And McNeese is favored against Rio Grande Valley. Look, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you got to bet a money line parlay that's like minus 350. However, upsets happen, I get that. I just think that the differences between these two teams tonight and their opponents is big enough to where, okay, if I want to lay one unit on minus 350 to pick up a fraction of a unit, I might be intrigued by that. I don't think McNeese or Stephen F. Austin will lose their games tonight.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the overall betting numbers.
18-1 in league, yeah. I hope Stephen F. Austin. We got to have Stephen F. Austin against McNeese in the Southland title game.
Mm-hmm.
Be great.
You think it's a little bit too high, though, with the number?
Well, based on what happened on Saturday, yeah. I mean, it's just, they know they're not getting an at-large, and they know they're going to wrap up. See, their goal is just let's get the win and wrap up a share of the Southland title tonight. I don't think it's let's go out there and win by 12 points. It's just let's win and move on, and we're so much better than this team, mm-hmm. right? I said it to you, was it Friday? I have to say it to you again. You got to take the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are laying 3.5 against the Tankerific Kings, who've lost 16 in a row. Why is the spread so low? Again, they're doing all the right things, too, where it's a two-point game late in the third quarter at San Antonio, and then they get run out again. Not only are they horrendous ATS, and they've lost 16 in a row, and they're trying to lose, they are the horrendous fourth quarter ATS.
Is it a fishy number, almost?
It was the same thing when Memphis was playing Utah, though. I mean, it's yeah. How do you got to take Memphis. If you lose, so be it. You got a team on a 16-game losing streak that and the tank is real. Look what happened to the Nets yesterday. You know, the Nets are up 11 with 7 minutes, catching 9.5 and can't cover.
Can't even cover.
So it's these coaches know what they're doing.
Oh, no doubt.
Put in a bad lineup and take out guys, and that lead disappears.
Now, I think the Jazz are getting some players back tonight the way it looks. They're taking on the Rockets. That total is around 229, 229 and a half. The Rockets, I believe, are 21-4 under in 2026.
Wow. They are on pace. Most offensive rebounding percentage since the 95 Mavs. It's nuts what they do on the offensive glass.
Nick Whalen next. Small cardigan NBA, but he'll have some player props to attack. And I have to ask, is Con Knipple worth a bet to win Rookie of the Year?
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We're going to look at tonight's NBA card right now as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Nick Whalen joins the program. He is with RotoWire, now hosting Monday through Friday here on VSiN as well, 1 o'clock Eastern on Prop Points with Jeff Erickson. Nick, good afternoon. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it as always. I want to begin with this. So the Hornets lost back-to-back games after the break. Good competition, though. They lost to Houston and then a back-to-back against the Cavaliers. They were game in both of those, but they lost both. In the second game against Cleveland, Con Knipple had 33 points, hit a bunch of threes. And then I noticed that there was an alert sent out that Cooper Flagg was going to miss the game yesterday for the Mavericks yet again. I'm like, okay, that's enough for me. Like, maybe they don't shut Flagg down completely, but I looked. The best number I can find was Con Knipple to win Rookie of the Year at plus 450. He goes out yesterday, has 28 points and a win. Mm-hmm. They're still alive for the playoffs. Who knows? Maybe they win that division. Is that a bad bet by me, or is it still maybe worth betting him around plus 350 today?
I think it could be worth it. Now, you know, Cooper Flagg has only missed, I believe, 7 games in total on the year. So we still have some work to do as far as like disqualifying him for the award. And I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think Dallas ideally would probably love to rest him as much as they can down the stretch, and they likely will. But they also know it's important for Cooper Flagg to win Rookie of the Year. So I don't think they will hold him out intentionally to the point where he would miss enough games to knock him out. But I think it's also clear that the Mavericks clearly lied about this foot injury. You know, they said he'd be back right away after the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. That is not the case. I would not be surprised if this stretches 2, 3, 4 more games. And then all of a sudden we are in dicey territory where, you know, he could suffer a legitimate injury that actually does knock him out of contention. I also think it's worth noting that for as great as Flagg has been, like if both guys played, let's say 75 games, yes, Cooper Flagg wins this award, no question, but it's not like there's a huge gap in terms of the production. Like Cooper Flagg has been the better overall player. He's had the bigger, splashier overall games, but Con Knipple has had some huge moments. He stayed healthy. He plays every single night. He's not just a 3-point shooter. It's not like he's Kyle Korver, right? He picks up his rebounds really well. He's a better defender than he's given credit for. And he's also a part of one of the best stories in the league. Like the Mavericks are just a nothing team the rest of the way, right? Any game that Cooper Flagg plays, you know, he'll be the focal point. He'll get his numbers, but it doesn't matter if they win or lose games, and they're going to lose more than they're going to win. Whereas like if Charlotte, you know, keeps up this run, like you said, they took 2 tough losses coming out of the break, but those are really competitive games that came down to the final possessions against really good teams. If Charlotte makes the playoffs, you know, they get out of the play-in and Con Knipple is the second best player on that team and a big reason for it. I could see that stealing some voters, you know, rather than Cooper Flagg kind of getting his numbers for a team that's not competing.
Well done. Good breakdown. How about Spurs +330 to get the 1 seed?
Look, I don't mind it, guys. I am holding a Spurs +450 to win the division ticket. Ooh, has been more so my focus. I thought that was a 2-team race. I thought that was kind of a crazy number. You know, when you look at, I never thought Dallas or Memphis were really in that, but that's neither here nor there. Look, I think it's possible, right? I mean, OKC picked up a win in a spot that you didn't necessarily think they would yesterday. That was kind of one of those reminder games from OKC of the infrastructure that they built. Even when they don't have SGA and Jalen Williams, they still have so much talent in terms of depth on that team. But it's only a 3-game spread right now between OKC and San Antonio. Spurs have obviously had the Thunder's number. Jalen Williams is probably going to miss a couple more weeks. We're not really sure on SGA. And look, if you're OKC, this dream of like setting the single season wins record, that died a while ago. Yes, you could still be the 1 seed. You still want the 1 seed, but you also just won the title. Your best player just won the MVP. We see this every year, guys, right? When you have a team that climbs the top of the mountain, that accomplishes everything, it's really, really hard to come back and have that same level of grit and determination, for lack of better terms, night in and night out in the regular season. So I don't really see a reason for OKC other than wanting to kind of get some continuity with all their guys back later in the season. I don't see them, you know, pushing harder than they need to necessarily to get the 1 seed. I think they're ultimately fine if they fall to the 2. So I would argue that the 1 seed probably matters more to San Antonio. This is a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2019.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Okay. So how about tonight's game? It is a terrific basketball game. They're the 2 seed right now in the West. They're on the road taking on the 1 seed, currently speaking, in the East, the Pistons. Detroit laying 1.5. The total here is 232.5. What do you make of those numbers?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the first, like, I need to watch this Spurs-Pistons game since, like, 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
But it's clearly the game of the night, especially given our other 2 options here. Yeah, I think the total is interesting here because, you know, you have 2 really good defensive teams. You also have 2 teams that are top 5 in offense over the last 10 games. Spurs have been playing fast. They've been piling up a ton of points, but I am on the under 232.5 here, guys. You know, this could end up looking silly. Totals have been crazy in the NBA this year, but both of these teams, when you comb through the box scores, like when they run into other good defenses, that's when we're seeing these games that are played in the low 200s, maybe into the 2 teens. And I think these are 2 teams that care a lot about these kind of matchups, right? I mean, we saw the Pistons come out on the road against the Knicks right after the All-Star break and put a beat down on that team. The Spurs have stepped up in some huge national TV spots against other good teams this year. I think these are 2 teams that are hungry, 2 teams that still feel like they need to prove it in their respective conferences. And I think this could be one of those games that we come away from saying like, man, that felt like a playoff game. Like I think that the defensive effort is going to be a lot higher than your average regular season game tonight.
Do you agree with me? I said it before you came on. You got to take the Grizzlies here, and if you lose, so be it. Sacramento's lost 16 in a row, and then you see they were down 2 in the third quarter in San Antonio, yep. And the next thing you know, it's a 25-point game. They are horrendous. They aren't playing people, limited minutes, and they're horrendous in the fourth quarter as well.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the Kings team doctor, who is just, he's looking for anything. Any possible malady, like, yes. You're shutting down for the season. I mean, DeMar DeRozan, if you're watching, just stay away. Stay away from the doctor. Stay away from the facility. They're coming for you next.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings have lost 16 in a row, but they've already kind of accomplished what they need to. They are far and away the worst team in the NBA. And what I mean by that is, like, they could afford to win a game, whereas Memphis has 21 wins, and they almost need a loss more. You know, I wonder if we see some shenanigans with Ty Jerome, who was added to the injury report this morning with an illness. That sounds to me like a Lauri Markkanen type of situation.
Yeah.
You know, Memphis is at least playing their guys. You know, I think they're trying to avoid like the Utah embarrassment. But what they're doing is playing like 10 or 11 guys the same minutes. You know, everybody's playing somewhere between like 18 and 26 minutes every single night. So Ty Jerome, when he goes out there, he has to do his work in like 21 minutes. It's really confusing from a prop betting standpoint. I'm staying away from the side here, guys. You know, the Kings are going to win another game at some point. Maybe it's tonight. But I did play Maxime Reyneau over 10.5 rebounds in this game. Memphis is a bottom five rebounding team, if not bottom three. If you look at a more recent sample, he's kind of avoided the tank. You know, they have some guys whose minutes have been reduced, but DeMar DeRozan, Reyneau, and Keegan Murray are the guys that are actually playing real minutes when they're healthy. So Reyneau over 10.5 boards. Precious Achiuwa is another guy I kind of like at 5.5 rebounds. And then for better or for worse, guys, I'm going to take Keegan Murray over 16.5 points. He's played two games since a long injury absence. He's played 32 and I think 38 minutes in those two games. So if he plays mid-30s against this Memphis team, he's going over.
Very good. You can follow Nick on X. He is at Whalen, but use the number one instead of the letter L, WHA1EN, host of Prop Points Monday through Friday right here on VSiN. That's at 1 o'clock Eastern with Jeff Erickson and also with RotoWire. Nick, awesome as always. Thank you for the time. Best of luck tonight.
Thank you, guys. Same to you.
Yep.
Take care. Good to talk to you.
He was on the Progressive guest line.
Well, you pointed this out a couple weeks ago, and boy, this has moved. Down to $1.20 now.
Crazy.
And DeBansa, this was interesting. This was yesterday on his podcast, Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe on Darren Peterson's draft stock.
I'm not sure Darren Peterson is going to go first anymore, which I would have bet anything on 2 months ago, but there's just too much weirdness with this Kansas thing, with him coming out of games and the cramping and the competitiveness. And unless he's actually hurt, which is now a new theory, I think teams value competitiveness too much. It's the number one thing we've learned about the NBA in the last 15 years is, you know what it's a good idea to have? Competitive guys. And I think this has just gotten too weird with the Kansas thing. And I think there might be better picks.
I will tell you this. I had so many Darren Peterson conversations, and I remember talking to various people being like, what? He just took himself out of the game? And because I hadn't seen it. They're like, yeah, he literally pointed to Bill Self. I was like, I'm out. That's it. And no one knows what to make of it.
I don't like it. I don't understand it. And it gives me Ben Simmons flashbacks to the LSU thing when he was just like, I'm out, and didn't care if they even made the NIT or whatever he did. Now, I hope that he actually has some physical stuff going on that he's afraid to make worse would be my hope. It's where DeBansa just becomes an easier pick, because ultimately you just made the key point. You're talking about guys who are going to get fired if they get this pick wrong. And that's when you just gravitate toward, you know, this guy, he's 6'8", perfect body. Worst case scenario is going to be a better Andrew Wiggins. This is a safer bet. I'm just going to take this guy.
Yeah, good point at the end.
Yep, sure.
Your job's on the line. I know.
In this class?
That's a good point, though. Competitiveness. It ties into you love the game and the competitiveness, too.
It's interesting, because what if there is a prop up, and there will be, eventually, of Darren Peterson's draft position, 1.5. And they could actually make it 2.5. You could put up some alt numbers on this. Like, could he potentially slide past number two? It's a loaded draft class.
Yeah.
So if the team picking first overall says, nah, we don't want him, we're taking DeBansa, and yet the list of great players is not just Peterson and DeBansa, the team picking second or even the team picking third could say, we're in the same boat. I don't want it. He just said the biggest thing for teams in the league in the last 15 years is competitiveness. Well, there potentially might not just be one team who thinks that then.
Uh-huh.
And he could all of a sudden slide to like 4 or 5. Maybe there's a path for that to happen.
That's right. Like Zach said, everyone's having the Peterson conversation. Another card went for $5 million over the weekend.
I can't wait to hear the details on that. And it happened again on the PGA Tour. Long shots that came in this weekend. Paulie, details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays. Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Sunday morning for the gold. The golden goal, Jack Hughes, 16-1. First goal of the game, Boldy, 22-1. Overtime cashes, 3-1. College hoops, Saturday, Cincinnati, 4-1, buried Kansas. Florida State, plus 280. Arizona, nice win, plus 220. Western Kentucky hands Liberty their first conference loss, 7.5-point dogs, routed Liberty. Buffalo, plus 280. Wyoming, plus 260. Premier League, draws all over the joint. West Ham, Bournemouth, plus 280. Aston Villa leads 3-1. Chelsea, Burnley, 6-1. Betting soccer's a perilous trade with the three-way.
Yep.
It's tough. Golf, Bridgman, another strong performance, 80-1. He wins, almost blowing a six-shot lead, but he hangs on and wins by one shot in the Pacific Palisades.
Oh, man, that event yesterday specifically was absolutely phenomenal. I'll have some numbers on Scottie Scheffler here in a couple of minutes that'll knock your socks off.
Yeah, Hideyama made it interesting, Rory. And Bridgman almost gave it away.
Yep.
Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Let me set this up for Mitch and the audience.
I play this game all the time.
You play spin poker?
I should say I used to play it all the time.
I've never played this.
It's fun.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And you can hit some, gigantic hands.
Can you explain that?
Because everything is tied together and you're playing multiple lines like this.
Well
said. It's spin poker tied into like video, like almost like slots, actually.
Yes.
So all of this stuff. And then you get multipliers, by the way, on the left-hand side.
Yes.
So if you happen to hit like a, let's say that you're dealt.
I did not know that.
Oh, my God. If you're given like on the previous hand, let's say you're given like, three or four different full houses. That means you're going to have three or four different lines that are 12 times. And then it depends on what else you got in the previous hand that they might be two, three, four, eight times, whatever.
Huh.
And then if you're given the next hand that's really, really good, oh, forget about it. And then if you hit a big hand in huge, like, blue letters, it's like big win, and it just, like, makes this different noise. And you're like, okay, I think
really?
I hit something here. Yeah.
So there's...
You can also, Paulie, get carried out quicker than you can in Ultimate X.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there are obscene limits and denominations at the win high limit. And a friend of a friend is playing, and the guy next to him hits this. Now, he's playing $10 denomination. It's $1,000 a push, and he gets dealt four to the royal. And you see the one up top.
Yep.
But he got, so in all actuality, he got seven royals. So it's 40,000 times seven. And it blinks up. It shows, okay, $280,000 win. And you see it in the bottom right there. He's betting $1,000 a push. He got dealt four to the royal. And then ends up getting seven royals, which how, when you look at it, and it's all added up.
Sure, because that's going to be the one across for sure. And then when you combine the ace of spades in the upper right, that goes down a line and then all the way across for another one.
Okay.
And then that should go down all the way to the bottom as well and across for three. And then there's going to be multipliers in the left-hand side like I talked about.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it's a trip.
Oh, my God. So that happened to a guy who was playing right next to him on Saturday night. This happened Saturday night. The Honus Wagner card on the left. Now remember, no one has these. There's only, like three or four in existence? Goes back to the 1900s? The one on the left sold for $1 million in 2020. The Honus Wagner card on the right, same condition, grade of one, sold for $5.12 million Saturday night. Incredible.
Wow, so it's gone up basically
card collecting
$5
business,
that much?
Yeah, right. And it's also, look, I mean, you don't have it because there weren't, there's only like three or four in existence. And even that's the condition with what it looks like. But still, same condition. One goes for $1 million. 6 years later, one goes for $5
million. I will say the one on the right looks like it's in better condition. But
that's what I said about too, yes. But
dude,
gave it the same grade.
Imagine if one popped up that was in mint condition sometime. What does that go for? A private island?
Yeah.
$100 million?
If the Pokemon card goes for 16.
Right.
I mean, this was in the family. This was in the family for over 100 years. Can you believe that story?
Oh, just
passed down generation to generation. And they kept it in the family. Let's go to Wisconsin. This should be an Olympic event. Beer curling, coming in with the case of beer. So you got the Natty Light, the Busch Light.
That's the Coors Light right
Coors
there.
Coors Light. Oh, he nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
Right in there.
Coors Light's your winner.
Yeah, absolutely. The Coors Light. with the curling in the backyard in Wisconsin?
No, that one's a Miller Lite, I believe.
You get the Miller Lite. Yeah, going to come up short.
A little bit short on that one.
Yeah, okay.
First of all, I can't believe that my friends and I never thought about this when we were younger living there.
Uh-huh.
Number two, I would love to fly back and hang out with these people for a little while.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, we nailed it.
There's the Natty Ice.
Oh, I think I'd have the Natty Ice.
I thought it was coming off the top rope there.
Yeah, all right. One lose some. Yeah, be careful out there. We know how bad it is on the East Coast. You got Andrew in Long Island. Andrew waking up today, what he's looking at with the weather. Brutal in New York.
So he had to, it's so bad that he had to try to shovel out away like on the little pathway by his house just so his dog did not have to hop into like 5 feet of snow.
Yeah, right, yeah. Great job taking care of the dog. Those are epic videos all over Instagram, too, about the dog when the dog has to go out and use the bathroom when he's walking into when the door opens. You know, with blizzard conditions and everything canceled, and it's every man for himself to try to dig the car out. Bad beats. Cal State Northridge, lane 3.5, led by 18, won by 2. Saturday night in the Garden, the Rockets were up 18 in the fourth quarter and lost to the Knicks. And the Nets were catching 9.5 yesterday. They led Atlanta by 11 with 7 minutes left. And lost by 11. Incredible. College hoops grind where real bettors find their edge. Dozens of games at night. Constant line movement. Opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not beating full-time sharps on your own with the sharp plays. You're powered by advanced AI and connected sources. They highlight the sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. Free reports, alerts, public logs, transparent results since 2011. Jeff and the crew, great job. Must follow. Sharpplays.com. Trusted by pros, monitored by the books, own the boards this season. Visit sharpplays.com.
A couple things here. Scotty Scheffler, his aggregate score by round one last three starts, or by rounds, I should say, because it's been a tough Thursday go for him here, not going back. Round one, plus five. Round two, 15 under. Round three, 14 under. Round four, 22 under. The live betting that you have to look at when this guy gets off to a slow start, he's making a comeback. And also, his top 10 streak officially ended at 18 events in a row. Ah. It dates back 11 months. Longest of the modern era. Scotty had 18, Vijay Singh 12, Tiger Woods 11. Guy's an absolute machine.
It was good to have Tiger in the booth and teasing maybe I'll play in the Masters.
I like that.
Yep.
And let me give you this. So the first time these two guys fought, it was a minimum of 5 years too late. Now they're going to run it back 11 years after they fought the first time. Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao are going to fight September 19th at the Sphere out here in Las Vegas.
No way.
Yahoo Sports with the breaking news. Well, Netflix and then Yahoo Sports as well. Pacquiao is 47 years old. He takes on a Russian fighter.
Well, Mayweather's doing the exhibition against Mike Tyson.
That's exactly. And they're a week apart. So Pacquiao, check that. I'm sorry. I read that incorrectly. Pacquiao is taking on a boxer on April 18th. Mayweather gets that fight against Tyson 1 week after that. Don't tell me you're not going to watch. Unfortunately, I'm going to raise my hand. I was screaming from the mountaintops for at least 5 years, like everybody else. Make the fight already. And they finally did it. So 11 years ago in 2015, it took forever for these two guys to give it the first shot. And now they're going to run it back again. And they'll make, what, $50 million each? And everybody in the world's going to watch it?
I don't know about that. I don't know, my friend. I don't know if that's going to do great numbers.
No?
Up there in age. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough one. My God.
Are you going to watch?
I doubt it. Remember, everyone criticized it. Everyone complained afterwards. Pillow fight, whatever. But it's like, that's every Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
And he did a great job on when he would fight these guys and we would get them at the end when he wasn't fighting them in there is the opponent's prime.
So I'm guessing that, I mean, he's 48. He retired a long time ago now. I guess the money is just so great with Netflix involved that they can't say no. And Mayweather, he's got more money than God anyway. He has to be a significant favorite over Pacquiao, by the way. But how do you get involved with a match when you're looking at a 47-year-old versus a 48-year-old? Or you just throw him out?
I would say it goes the distance. There won't be a knockout.
There was a local story out here with Mayweather when he was like still in his prime. He would call up a car company. Yeah. On a Wednesday at 2 a.m. Hey, I want to go shopping. Okay, we'll meet you there. We'll turn the lights on. And he might walk out of there with a Bentley or whatever.
A couple of them.
And I think at one point, at his house out here in Southern Highlands. I think he had 16 cars, and the average price was probably, $200,000 on average per car, or whatever the going rate would be.
The Megabucks bought a Maserati from a guy that he was in that business where it's like people like Mayweather and these rich people have so many cars and they don't drive them. And he just comes, he scoops them up, he buys them and makes a nice profit.
Yeah.
And he sells them to people like, you know, it's like you get a Maserati here with only 10,000 miles.
Pennies on the dollar.
The guy never drove the car.
Gold medal match. And now the NHL starts again with a full slate on Wednesday. This will be a super interesting couple of days to handicap the games, including what is almost a rest versus rust component.